What is up, guys, and welcome to the Hello Rookie podcast. I am Chris Lawless. It is July 22nd, and we are going to talk about five running backs to avoid in 2019. We just recorded five running backs that you have to draft in 2019. Actually, earlier today, it's a two-podcast kind of day here at the Hello Rookie headquarters. No Joe today. I'm all by myself. We should still have this uploaded in audio and video format if for some reason you want to watch me talk. So five running backs that you have to draft included Todd Gurley, Derrick Henry, Tevin Coleman, Alexander Mattison, and Duke Johnson of all people at their current ADP. Those are five guys that I really, really like. Again, if you missed that video, first of all, there's a link in the description of this podcast and or video to it. Or you can find it on our website. You can find the corresponding articles on our website. Also worth noting from that podcast, these do use the draft, the current draft ADP. I'm not going to go into the whole spiel as to why I love using the draft ADP, but you know, it, to me, it's the only ADP to use, during your research at this time of the season, just because so few guys are actually taking their fantasy draft seriously. You know, using data from guys that have paid to enter the draft, makes a huge difference. Okay, so, and again, current draft ADP, link in the description to the show. So, all right, let's get right into five running backs you have to avoid. Disclaimer, anytime we publish a video, podcast, article, anything that is at all negative about players, it tends to really piss some people off. So that's probably going to happen again, and I apologize ahead of time. If this is your boy, but, okay. So number one, right away, it says right in the article, boom, right off the bat, people are pissed. Yeah. So Nick Chubb, I'm a Chubb fan. I'm all about, you know, those numbers that everyone wants to throw out from last season, you know, yards after contact, things like that. You know, sure. They lost Kevin Zeitler, who was arguably their best offensive lineman. And he did benefit from having, you know, a center and two guards that played all 16 games together last year. So breaking that group up could potentially have a negative effect, but I think, you know, bringing in Odell Beckham, you know, having, the group of weapons that they have, Jarvis Landry and Joku and all of those weapons, you know, with a guy like Baker that's willing to push it downfield, take a shot on any play, is going to create way more space than any issues that losing Zeitler in that trade with New York could potentially create. For me, it's all about Kareem Hunt. Like, Kareem Hunt's a better running back. As good as Nick Chubb is, Kareem Hunt is a cheat code. He is going to be impossible for the Browns staff to keep off the field when he gets back, and he's going to cause all sorts of issues for Nick Chubb owners come week nine. I honestly think that the first eight games of the season, Nick Chubb is going to be a top 10 fantasy running back. But once Kareem Hunt comes back, it could potentially turn into a nightmare. And just given his current ADP, which is steadily climbing. In fact, let me pull that up while we're going through this. But yeah, given his current ADP, there's just too many guys in that range, that are worth taking over him, in my opinion. And to give you some examples, for one, you know, the three guys that go right in front of him and on the draft ADP right now, Ty Gurley, Dalvin Cook, Damian Williams. You now are going to move Tyreek Hill in front of him. Obviously, I would take Mike Evans and Antonio Brown over him, just because you're getting a full season out of either one of those guys. And I'm a huge proponent of getting a ton of running backs. You know, I want to get, you know, at least three running backs in my first five picks, preferably four. And, you know, so, you know, generally speaking, I'm not going to take a receiver over a back like Chubb, but, you know, I don't want to have the headaches of Kareem Hunt come week nine. We've already seen reports from people that are just at camp saying that Kareem Hunt is the best player on the Browns on the field during camp. It's just not a situation I want to be in once he comes back, especially with a second round pick. With a second round pick, I want a guy that I don't even have to think about. Like, he's in the lineup. You know, we talked about it with the Todd Gurley. You know, if he misses time, that's fine. You know, you don't have a choice but to sit him. But if he's active, he's in the lineup, you don't have to think about that spot. You can make the same argument for just about any of the backs going in the first couple of rounds. And that's who Nick Chubb will be week 1 through 8. I'm not convinced that that's who he'll be, you know, when it matters the most in your fantasy league's playoffs down the stretch. So he made the list. You know, again, everyone becomes a value at some point. I think he is a top 10 back the first 8 weeks, and maybe he does hold off Kareem Hunt when Hunt comes back. I'm just not convinced of it right now. Okay, so Leonard Fournette. Again, this is the one. This is one that's going to make some people angry because, you know, new system, better quarterback, hopefully some friendlier boxes. One of the more talented running backs in the league, clearly. You know, I said in the article that, you know, when he was at LSU, I thought he had a chance to be one of the better backs ever. Just, you know, given his size speed combination, really kind of compared only to Derrick Henry, you know, 6 feet plus, you know, 230 plus pounds and can run a 4.5. It just hasn't worked out. He's always hurt. The injuries are a nightmare. If you're a fantasy owner, every single Sunday, you have to wake up and try and figure out if he's playing or not because he's, you know, questionable or, you know, probable. And then he gets downgraded to questionable and, you know, it's just been a nightmare. And, you know, then you get into, you know, for one, the scheme change for me is a negative. DeFilippo destroys every running game that he takes over. I chronicle it, you know, year by year in the article. To give you just one example, the Minnesota Vikings running game was 8th in the NFL in 2017. He took over last season. They finished the year 30th, despite actually coming on a little bit down towards the end of the season. He did the same thing in Cleveland. I don't think he can coach the running game. I don't think he can coach the offensive line. And to me, if I'm John DeFilippo, I'm not going to stake my job again on Leonard Fournette getting 3.2 yards per carry. There was games last season, and in fact, I think I mentioned one in the article, 24 carries for 53 yards he had in week 10 of last season. There's no way if I'm John DeFilippo and I was fired in one season in Minnesota that I'm going to sit there and hand him the ball for 2 yards a carry 24 times to, you know, and even being that as it was, he scored like 11 fantasy points that week on 24 carries. So I don't think he's going to see that much, that high of a volume of workload when he is active. I don't think, despite what they say, he's going to have any meaningful role in the passing game, any consistent role in the passing game that you can rely on. I think that the Jags are going to turn into a short to intermediate quick passing game. They're going to play to Nick Foles' strength. I think Dede Westbrook's going to have a huge year. I think Chris Conley is going to have a big year. I think that entire group of receivers, you know, Chris Conley, Dede Westbrook, you know, DJ, Marquise Lee, it's an underrated group. Terrell Pryor now, it's an underrated group. I think that they're going to be efficient passing the ball, and I think that they can play, given Nick Foles' strength. You know, he's a guy that has been a top 10 in terms of accuracy on short to intermediate passing over the past 2 seasons. Given that those are his strengths, and I think that, you know, it kind of plays into the strengths of this roster, I think that they may fall in love with that. And yeah, I think Fournette could be in trouble. And to be frank, I really, really like Ryquell Armstead. We mentioned it in the 5 players at Target article. He's one of my, he was my third rated, he was RB4 right behind Josh Jacobs. So we had Montgomery 1, Daryl Henderson 2, Josh Jacobs 3, and then Ryquell Armstead was our 4th rated runner out of Temple. Gives them nothing in the passing game, even less than Fournette. He never caught the ball for Temple, but really good runner, really good runner. And he could chew into Fournette's workload a little bit if Fournette's forced to miss some time and they get a look at what he can do in this system. So yeah, I'm just not buying him at his current ADP. There's guys in that range that I love that I'll just take ahead of him. Very simple. You know, these first 3 rounds are going to be pretty cut and dry. You know, that top group of running backs that we keep drawing the line, you know, right in the Philip Lindsay, Sony Michelle area, is pretty defined. So where you would take Leonard Fournette, I would take Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Devontae Freeman, Kerryon Johnson. I would even kind of pause and think about Josh Jacobs. And then you have a really good group of receivers going in that area with Keenan Allen and you know, even reaching on a guy like Chris Godwin, who's going to have a monster year for Tampa a little early. I don't have any interest in Leonard Fournette this season, and I would find any excuse for any of those players in that range to avoid the headache that is Leonard Fournette. His, you know, immensely talented. The offensive line will be better this season, personnel wise. I'm not sure they're going to be coached all that much better. I get the guys that are excited about the potential of a healthy Leonard Fournette. You know, we saw glimpses of that as a rookie. He was dominant for stretches. He was top 10 running back for the majority of the season. But the injuries are too much for me. The 3.2 yards per carry are too much for me to buy into, particularly with a new offensive coordinator, regardless of what he's saying this offseason. So he's a guy that I'm avoiding at his current ADP. Darrell Henderson. Yes, people are very angry. I get it. 9 yards per carry at Memphis. That's quite impressive. I promise you that Patrick Taylor is going to average pretty close to, maybe not 9, but pretty close to 9 yards per carry for Memphis this season. The problem with Darrell Henderson this year is his ADP. He's nothing more than a handcuff. In my opinion, I think Todd Gurley's knee issues are people are overreacting to the 10th degree to Todd Gurley's knee issues. I think they're being overstated. Check out our 5 running backs to draft video for more on that. But so Henderson's nothing more than a handcuff. They've got 5 running backs under contract. They really like all 5 of those guys. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, if Gurley misses an extended period of time, that Henderson is going to be necessarily a 3-down guy for them. I think he's a guy that they like the fact that if Gurley's out and they have to sub someone in for a couple of series, the offense doesn't get predictable. They can still hit big plays. He can still do a lot of the things that Gurley can do. But again, you know, he's playing behind the guy that's led the NFL in fantasy points per game over the last 2 seasons. I don't, you know, unless Gurley misses time, which I don't, you know, I don't think, I think that they're doing everything to avoid that. I think they, by keeping Gurley out of the, you know, out of the offseason camps and, you know, out of team drills and out of everything and, you know, limiting his reps in the offseason, they're trying to set him up to be able to play 16 games this season instead of the 14 we saw last season with the issues we saw down in the playoffs. I think, you know, even if they limit his workload, Henderson's looking at, you know, maybe 2, you know, on the high end 3 series per half. I think more realistically, you're looking at, you know, 4 series per game for Henderson. Gurley still has the team's trust on third downs. He's going to have their trust in the red zone. 6th round is just too early. I mean, you're assuming that Gurley's going to miss an extended period of time because you're taking Darrell Henderson over. Let's just give a somewhat similar example. You're taking him over Kareem Hunt, who's going to play 8 games, and Hunt's going in the 10th round. And Hunt is a proven top 10 running back in the NFL. So that's kind of, I wouldn't take Henderson too much earlier than round 10 to be frank. And he's going in round 6 right now. And we've seen him as high as round 5 and past, weekly ADP, charts. So he's a guy that, at his current ADP, I don't think you can draft him. Even if you did draft Gurley and you want, you know, the entire Rams backfield, I don't think you can take him that early. It's not worth it. Okay, and then Ronald Jones. So Peyton Barber didn't make our 5 players you have to draft, but he's damn near making that list. Barber is going 2nd to last pick in the 10th round. Ronald Jones is currently going, I think, in the 8th. Is that right? Yeah, so Ronald Jones is the last pick in the 8th round. At the very least, I'm going to flip those 2. I probably would, you know, I think you can make an argument for taking Barber early in the 8th round, kind of right after Miles Sanders in the Darius Geis, Royce Freeman area or range. Ronald Jones is not a good running back. I don't know where the, you know, opinion that he's going to be the 3rd down back in this offense came from. I don't know why people don't take Arians and Leftwich and, you know, the Bucks running back coach at their word that Peyton Barber is not only going to be the focal point of the running game, but is going to be a focal point of the offense and is going to see more reps in the passing game this season. But at some point we have to start taking their word for it. At some point we have to, you know, acknowledge the fact that they just missed on a second round pick with Ronald Jones. And that it's probably not going to work out. You know, that happens more often than not in the NFL. So I think Barber, you know, unless they are able to pull off a Duke Johnson trade or, sign someone else, there's a few guys that are on roster bubbles that I think would fit here perfectly. Unless that happens, I think Peyton Barber is going to get 250 total touches again this season, which makes him an extreme value in round 10. And Ronald Jones is not going to be anywhere near that number. And he probably, you know, if it's still the two of them in some sort of battle, by the time your fantasy draft comes around, he's probably, you know, Ronald Jones is probably around an 11th round pick at best. I just don't see the ceiling there. He's just not a good player. And you know, if you pull up the article, I go through some of the numbers that explain the issues he had last season. I just don't think he's a good fit. Again, you know, the narrative is that he's the better pass catching back, which is true. I mean, Barber has never been particularly, I think if you go back to Auburn, he may not, maybe, you know, certainly single digits how many passes he caught in Gus Malzahn's offense. But Ronald Jones is not that much better. He caught 32 passes in 40 games at USC. And then last year, of course, caught 7 for 33. You know, neither back is ideal in third round role. The fact that the coaching staff keeps telling us that Peyton Barber is going to have a role in the passing game and that he's the focal point of the offense as far as a power running, you know, building around a power run game goes. At some point we have to take them at their word for that and start drafting Barber ahead of Ronald Jones. So that's why Ronald Jones made this list of five guys you have to avoid. And then the last guy on the list is Ito Smith. So once we get down, you know, I think a lot of people kind of throw these picks away late in the draft. And I think there's a lot of value after 13 this year. You know, we talked about Alexander Mattison as being, you know, one of our favorite handcuffs. I think there's a chance that LeSean McCoy is going to be out the door in Buffalo. And if that's the case, you know, Devin Singletary may end up being the dude there. Certainly like him in his rookie year here. I'd rather have Kalen Ballage than Ito Smith, who could end up in some sort of timeshare with Kenyon Drake. I think that once the staff sees Drake play, that Kenyon Drake is actually a sleeper and his current ADP middle around four. But yeah, so Ito Smith currently, you know, going as the first pick in the 12th round. I don't think Ito Smith is going to be, you know, let's assume that we're just talking about handcuffs right now. I don't even think he's the handcuff for Devontae Freeman. I think Brian Hill would be. I think Ito Smith, you know, is going to have some sort of role as the backup to Devontae Freeman. He'll have some sort of role in the Falcons passing game. But he's certainly not Tevin Coleman. And I have some interesting numbers as far as that goes. When you look at what Tevin Coleman did last season, 10% of his total touches went for 15 yards or more. In the Falcons offense, Ito averaged less than 5 yards per reception last year. So the two guys, not only is it not apples to apples, they're just nowhere near the same players. And I don't think that Ito is going to be the primary backup to Devontae Freeman. So don't waste your pick, especially not round 12. There's a lot of guys. I think Deion Lewis in a full ADP could still have value. Alexander Mattison, I think, has a weekly value. We've kind of gone over what's going to happen there with the Gary Kubiak system. Again, you know, Kalen Ballage could have a weekly value. And if for some reason Kenyon Drake misses time, there's zero question who the backup is for Miami. So, and again, Gio Bernard's going to have a weekly value. And Duke Johnson, we talked about in our five running backs at target. If he gets traded, all of a sudden he is a steal in the 15th round. So there's a ton of running backs, 12 and on, that are worth targeting. Ito Smith is not one of them. So he is one of our five guys that you can't avoid or that you cannot draft this year. So that is it. I wanted to mention We do have this on the draft ADP. We have this chart here that, you know, basically assembles the draft ADP as a draft board, and we highlighted some players that are overvalued at the current spot they're being picked. Some of the names might surprise some people. I know earlier actually when I talked to some guys about it, you know, people were surprised to see that we highlighted Tariq Cohen as a guy that's overvalued. That's more I don't think Cohen's going to get, I think he had 99 carries, something like that last year. I don't think he's going to get anywhere near that this season. I think David Montgomery has a legitimate shot to be a three down back for Chicago. And Cohen, you know, he's going to have to split even more targets with, you know, they need to get the ball to Trey Burton more with, given how efficient he was with his targets last season. We know that Allen Robinson, you know, a year from removed from that ACL surgery, is a legit number one receiver and will likely get more targets in year two in the system. Obviously they're going to want to get Anthony Miller the ball more. They can get big plays out of Taylor Gabriel, so a lot of mouths to feed in the passing game. And I don't think that he has any I think that Montgomery is going to be the main back in the run game. So I think Tariq Cohen could have a disappointing year, particularly if you're taking him in the fifth round ahead of some of the running backs that go after him. We highlighted Jordan Howard. He's just a guy that, you know, kind of similarly to Leonard Fournette, like, you know, he's always averaged. He hasn't always averaged. He's been under 4 yards per carry now. And he's got a running back in Miles Sanders that does what he does better. Miles Sanders will get an extra yard or two out of those carries. So, you know, that those 3 yard runs turn into four to five kind of thing. Maybe not necessarily more explosive than Jordan Howard. I think they're both 4 or 5 guys. But I think Miles Sanders is, you know, one cut, get downhill, early down running back that the Eagles want. And that's why they used a draft pick on him this year. So I think Jordan Howard likely is a guy that will be on waivers all year this year for the Eagles. And then the only other running back we highlighted was another round 12 guy in Justice Hill. I don't think that he is. Love Justice Hill. You got to love the speed, right? Like, we always draft guys with a good 40 time a little higher than we should. But he's probably not even the backup to Mark Ingram. I think that if Ingram was hurt, Justice Hill would have a third down role on the team. I think, you know, with Ingram healthy, Hill will have packages and he might even still have a third down role on the team. He's certainly not going to have an early down role. You know, and not only is Edwards still there for that early down work, but, you know, Kenneth Dixon is a guy that, you know, should he not make the team, he's a guy that I think that will be a fantasy contributor somewhere else. He's another guy that we could talk about some of the numbers from him. If you have a Pro Football Focus subscription, go look at some of the stuff that Kenneth Dixon has done in his career, an unlimited amount of work. He's got some upside if he ends up somewhere else. So, but yeah, just to tell him, he's probably not worth a 12th round pick. We've covered the guys going after him that do hold weekly value without an injury. So, all right, 5 running backs to avoid. Again, 5 running backs to target is in the description, and we are going to do 5 receivers either tomorrow, which would be July 23rd, or on Wednesday, July 24th. So if you want to get those direct to your, get notifications or have it delivered to your inbox, subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this. Thank you for watching and listening. Check us out at hellorookie.com. See ya.